What happens when the world defies God's covenant? This is the prophetic warning no nation can ignore. Dividing the promised land, the peril of a Palestinian state, the unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and joining me today, all the way from the United Kingdom, is my good friend, Mr. Mark Sutherland. Always has great insight into everything UK and Israel as well. And Mark, it is a timely subject right now with everything that's going on. But first of all, thank you for joining us today. David's just, well, he's buried in work is what he is. And Mark was very, very kind to step in today. And I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you so much for being here.
Always a pleasure. And it's great to be with you, my friend. Thank you.
Well, Mark, would you mind praying us into this program, because I know we're going to need we're going to need the Lord today, because we're going to be stepping on Satan pretty hard.
I hear you. Father, well, thank you for the privilege of being able to broadcast, being able to speak, and Holy Spirit, just completely fill this broadcast completely and give us the words to say and guidance. Give us your words and guidance to your people at this hour. This is such important now. We just commit all of this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen, Mark. I'm going to show everybody what we expect to talk about today, and we'll get through as much of this as we possibly can here, but we're going to talk about God's covenant and that the fact that it is non-negotiable. Also, we're going to talk about the manufactured identity and ancient agendas there. Curses of division, historical judgments, and of course the final confrontation, and why all of this matters to us right now. And Mark, I'm just going to kick right off into it, okay? What we've got here is God's covenant is non-negotiable. The land known today as Israel is not merely a geopolitical territory. It's a sacred inheritance granted by God himself to Abraham and his descendants. To question, divide, or redefine its boundary is to defy the divine decree. If you look at Genesis 15:18, God made a blood covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants I have given this land. This includes territory from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates," which is a much larger area than Israel claims today. In Genesis 17:7-8, God calls this covenant everlasting, affirming that through Isaac and Jacob, not Ishmael or Esau, the Bible is explicit that the inheritance flows through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No political body, whether it's the United Nations or the U.S. State Department, can override God's eternal promise. And just to continue this portion here, the land known today as Israel is not merely a geopolitical territory, it's a sacred inheritance, and I believe I did it again, didn't I? Hold on, let me get the right one up here. Hit the wrong button. Modern peace negotiations ignore or defy this covenant. Leaders treat Israel like any other nation rather than a people that is divinely set apart. When leaders within Israel itself propose land concessions, they are acting against God's word, even if well-intentioned. God's judgment is not suspended for diplomacy. Joel 3:2 states that God will bring all nations into judgment on account of my people, my heritage Israel. They have also divided up my land. Every attempt to divide the land is rebellion against divine order. The land is not Israel's to give away. It is God's. As believers, we must recognize the land as holy ground, not for negotiation or division. God will not bless what he has already condemned. And Mark, I want your thoughts on all of that, because there's a lot in that opening salvo right there.
Well, the bottom line is that we do not divide the land, J.D. Right. Mm-hmm. Whether that's through the Abraham Accords, whether that is now this whole push for a Palestinian. We know where this is all going, and this is biblical prophecy. This is where we are heading, and we are heading to the return of Christ.
Right.
But if you then have got the governments of the world who have no understanding of that, who don't believe in that, and as you've stated in your statements there in the opening salvo, as you so brilliantly called it, is you talk about that. It doesn't matter what political, what countries have got to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we then had, let's just go over the news a little bit. Of course, Macron doesn't understand the Bible whatsoever.
Right.
And then is turning around and going, we will recognize a Palestinian state. This is also the man that had recently had the leader, the jihadist leader, because he is, even though he's put a suit on, of Syria at mm-hmm. the at his in Paris meeting with him, Jilani, and this is a man that has then allowed his ISIS fighters to run amok to kill the Druze mm-hmm. who down in the south of Syria. He's also, those fighters have then killed the Alawites. They've then turned against some of the Christians living there as well. So any minorities, they are then going for. There are many Druze that live in Israel, and that's why, and many of those Druze in Israel, JD, mm-hmm. they then serve in the IDF. So that is why Israel went in and bombed and pushed back there in regard to what's happened there. And we need more news to hear from that. So we've got all of this, and then suddenly, you know, out 145 countries that want to know the Palestinian state. Mm-hmm. Macron is greeting the terrorists, and he's not been the only one. And now, the end of last week, we then had the prime minister, or the ex-prime minister of this country. Sadly, he was elected. I didn't vote for him. Keir Starmer, who said, Israel needs to stop the war in Gaza immediately, stop this action, and if it doesn't, otherwise we are going to recognize a Palestinian state. Now, you've alluded to this. I think your next question, it will be, they are not Palestinians, they are the people in Gaza, they are Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are not going to say that awful things are not happening there. They are. But those awful things are all of the consequences of Hamas's actions on the 7th of October, 2023.
Right.
And that is why. No army in history is fighting its enemy and then feeding them
Thank you. Yes. I wanted to jump in on that one real quick, because it's something that we have mentioned on a couple of shows. And to provide aid and comfort to the enemy is grounds for treason. That is what we, at least here in the United States, have always said. And so it makes absolutely no sense for any country who is at war with another country to provide them with aid and comfort, food, petroleum, whatever the case may be, and then have the opposing army steal it, because it's intended free for the people there. They steal it and then they sell it to their own countrymen. And if those countrymen go in and try to just take it, you know, this is given to us, they'll kill them. And then Israel gets blamed. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard. And real quick, Mark, I'm going to read this. You know this guy, Amir Tesfarte. He said, it's a very dark and demonic cloud is covering the earth right now. We're witnessing the fulfillment of the biblical term strong delusions. Doctors now swear that a man can give birth. Minors who can't vote or buy certain drinks are somehow deemed mature enough to decide to change their sex. Nations commit economic suicide in the name of climate change legislation. People join the world's most oppressive religion in the name of freedom. Food is supplied to people who shelter and support terrorists and hide hostages. The very providers of food and aid are accused of committing genocide. A fake campaign of starvation circulates through AI-generated images. Photos from other countries are pictures of genetically caused diseases, while the world media stays silent about the only adults truly being starved, the hostages held by these so-called starvation victims. Humanitarian aid distributed for free is called a death trap, yet those who hijack the free aid trucks and resell the supplies at exorbitant prices are hailed as heroes. And now, 600 days after the largest terror attack in modern history of the Middle East, these perpetrators are rewarded by Western governments with recognition as a state, a move that emboldened the terror group to walk away from a deal to release at least 10 living hostages immediately. Now, that about sums up everything that's going on over there right now. Would you agree?
I would agree. Who wrote that? Amir Safadi?
Yeah, Amir did. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. And he, I follow him closely because he's right there. You know, his backyard looks over the Valley of Armageddon. So, you know, if anybody knows about Israel, he's it. You know, I'm not saying I agree with everything that he writes or everything that he says. I don't agree with everything my wife says, for goodness sakes. But I can tell you that, you know, he's pretty keen on this stuff. And, being over there, and he was the last governor of Jericho before it was handed over. He is a lieutenant. I think now he's not active, but either a lieutenant or a colonel in the IDF. And of course, he heads up the Behold Israel is the name of his organization. Great organization.
Well, he is referring to the pictures that came out over the weekend that's just passed.
Yes.
And I'm just trying to get the pronunciation right, because I don't think I've got the pronunciation right of the dear man's first name, which is either Einat or Ernant David. And there he is in a tunnel. And he is looking absolutely as if he has been starved, right. Looking like an animal treated like that. It's awful. He looks as though he is inside Auschwitz or Belsen,
right?
When they were liberated. And if you saw the pictures of him before, on the 7th of October, 2023, if you saw pictures of the day before, he was a fit young man, you know, muscle and everything.
Right.
And there he is. They have released footage taunting the world, taunting the Israeli state, where he's got a spade in his hand as if he's about to dig his own grave. Yeah. Now, it's an outrage. It's an utter outrage. Also, pictures have been shown, I believe, of Hamas terrorists who look extremely well-fed.
Yes.
Who were holding up food and saying, oh, this is what we're, you know, this is what we're eating, or maybe trying to infer that this is what the hostages are not getting, or et cetera. Up to this point, the Red Cross has not made any visitation to any of the hostages that I am aware of. I think they've made an application to do that. And there is chatter out there, certain comment has been made that, I have to check this out, that Hamas is saying, well, no, you can't come and visit them. The pictures are indescribable. They are just beyond appalling.
Right.
So there is still 50 hostages. We don't know fully how many are alive. And some of those, very sadly, will be dead. And you quite rightly, with what you read out, is quite right, where Keir Starmer and we're going. Now, let's not forget, Carney of Canada has also said
Absolutely.
Recognizing Albanese government in Australia is weighing that up. Now, let's just bring Australia in our firing line. Australia has just had a march across the Sydney Harbour of 90,000 led by Julian Assange. So we're just...
Yeah, that was a surprise to me, Mark. I didn't, you know, I guess I was misled or didn't do enough research or whatever, but I never felt like Julian, I can't remember his last name, you just said it. But
Julian Assange.
Yeah, I never realized that he was anti-Semitic or, you know, that just went over me, or either that or it wasn't well known, at least not
well,
to me.
Well, to be fair to you, I'm sure that there are many people that at one point did not expect certain things to come out of Candace Owens' mouth either,
right.
Or even Tucker Carlson's mouth.
Right,
they're quite shocked by that. And remember, Candace was a very, very dear friend of, or Dennis Prager was a dear friend of hers.
Yeah, I liked Prager her. Did. I liked Tucker. Yeah, I liked both of them. Yeah,
but, crazy. But I'm afraid to say, as the Bible says, that Israel will be a stumbling block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this whole issue. You and I would have been surprised that within the supposed MAGA movement, inverted commas, that there would be people who would be going, why are we doing this? Why are we giving money, as they perceive, to Israel? We'll clear that one up, including Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when they have a go and say, well, we're giving money to Israel, well, actually, it's armaments. It goes into the military-industrial complex in your country. Mm-hmm. Armaments are made, and then they are shipped out there. A lot of those armaments and equipment are actually paid for by Israel. So, mm-hmm. This aspect is complicated. Mm-hmm. But going back to what we're saying that on October the 7th, 1,200 citizens of Israel were murdered, 250 and many injured, 250 hostages mm-hmm. were taken, up to 4,000 people, Hamas and citizenry, people of Gaza then come over the border there to attack Israel. Many of those have been working in the kibbutzines. They've been working out where people live, who has guns, who has dogs, who has a shelter to go and hide in, etc. They took back all that information, and then the attack happened on the 7th of October.
Mm-hmm.
The lead up to that, the ignoring of various warnings, is a subject you and I can discuss another day. But going back to this, Imre now accusing Israel of committing genocide, saying there's not enough food, when I have footage of pallets and pallets and pallets of food, of water, of other things that in regard to baby milk, nappies, etc.,
mm-hmm.
have been outside waiting to go in, and the United Nations has refused basically to work with the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, because that foundation has been set up by American authorities, administration, by the Israeli government, to then take control of the food distribution so that mm-hmm. that could come out of Hamas's task, could stop stealing mm-hmm. the food, and then they sold the food back to the people that live in Gaza, where the Gazan Humanitarian Foundation has been giving out food for free. And if I've got my figure right, it might be about 1,400,000, maybe just over that, free meals that they have given
That's
to
correct.
and distributed. And then there's been all this propaganda of saying that Israeli forces have fired on the Gazans there coming for food. There's also been a particular soldier whose name has just gone from me that used to work for the Gaza Health Foundation and who's come out and been bad-mouthing that organization as well. The Gaza Health Foundation has completely and utterly refuted all the accusations with backup of evidence that this particular gentleman has said. What I'm saying is, my friend, is that the propaganda, the deception, I will hand you over to your own delusion. Yeah. If you want to believe that, that's up to you. But the problem is, it does have consequences for the rest of us that are trying to get the truth out there and feel that we are really, really pushing water, gallons and gallons of it, up a hill, my friend.
Yeah, well, let's look at this, Mark, because you kind of led me into it. It's a manufactured identity, ancient agenda here. Mm. The push for a Palestinian state rests on a myth designed to rob Israel of her biblical inheritance and to fabricate an identity that did not exist before the 20th century. Historically, there has never been a sovereign nation called Palestine. No Palestinian king, no Palestinian flag, currency, or defined borders. The land was ruled by empires. Roman, I'm not sure how to pronounce the next one, Byzantine, Islamic caliphates, Ottoman, and British. The term Palestinian itself was used by the British to describe all residents of the region, including Jews. In fact, the Palestinian Post was a precursor to the Jerusalem Post, and it was a Jewish-run newspaper. The modern Palestinian identity emerged after the creation of Israel in 1948, weaponized to undermine Jewish legitimacy in their own ancestral land. Arab nations, rather than absorb refugees after the Arab-Israeli wars, kept them in camps and used their plight for political leverage. And just going on here, the current international narrative of occupation falsely claims that Jews are foreign colonizers. And this false claim ignores the fact that Jews have lived continuously in this land for over 3,000 years. The so-called two-state solution is not about coexistence. It's about replacing the Jewish state. Palestinian maps and school books do not show Israel at all. In fact, radical Islamic teachings in Palestinian regions openly call for jihad to reclaim all of Palestine, including Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Psalm 83 prophesizes of a confederation of nations plotting to cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. Now, clearly, the Palestinian state movement is not a peaceful proposition. It is a spiritual assault on God's chosen people and his prophetic timeline. The identity behind it is built on deception with roots in deception. I'd like your comments on that, Mark. We've only got like about 4.5 left in the first half here.
Well, absolutely. Let's go back to this. Yasser Arafat in 1964, mm-hmm. my understanding then, creates the term Palestinian. They are Arabs. And just right. to say that right up to this time, they have been offered a two-state solution four times. The problem is when they want to recognize now a Palestinian state, if you take Gaza, which was won by the Israelis, taken over in the 67 war, mm-hmm. because up till then, from 1948 to 67, it was Egyptian. They then withdrew in 2005. Hamas comes into power around about 2007 and then turns it into a rocket launcher pad. And that was the first attempt at a two-state solution. So we can say, how did that work out? Mm-hmm. Would they want a Palestinian state? Geographically, they want to join up Gaza with you could then say the Israelis, we would call it Judea and Samaria. Mm-hmm. They call it the West Bank, as in the West Bank of Jordan. Right. And they want to join that up. Well, the gap between Gaza and the West Bank is Israel. So that means, well, we want to get rid of Israel as a state. The key thing is, under the Montevideo Convention, other international law, Israel is a state, it exists. My own understanding of this is that actually They want a Palestinian state, their state. They are Arabs. Then they should be living in now what's called Jordan. Mm-hmm. It was set up under Churchill of Transjordan, and into Jordan. So that is actually their homeland, or go into Egypt. But they don't want to let that happen, because with UNRWA, they have permanently had immigrant refugee status, JD, since 1948. Mm. And it's a group of people mm-hmm. to beat Israel with. They withdrew out of Gaza. That's another story, because in my humble opinion, they never should have done. I realize the pain, appreciate the pain of that and what led up to that. But this is where we are at, and we are having to deal with facts and not feelings and emotions. The last thing we want to do is to see anyone hurt on either side. But we have to remind ourselves how much care the IDF take to get civilians out the way that Egypt will not allow to go into Egypt. And if they did, and they won't, because they're concerned about the Muslim Brotherhood ideology. JD, it's complex, but if people learn, but unfortunately, once they are then immersed with their own ideology, they are not prepared to learn. And how would they feel if their countries would be told, no, you're not legal, even though, as we say, Israel is 75 years young, but 3,000 years old.
Right, right. You are completely correct there. And I just, you know, the United Nations has made more resolutions against Israel than every other nation on the earth combined. And they, well, in the second half of the show, I'm actually going to show you what nations, not all of them, I don't have time to list them all, but I'm going to show you how many nations there are that now recognize a place that doesn't even exist on any map anywhere in the world. It's insane, but that's what that's what's happening. And Mark, I'll also give you an opportunity there, because I know that in the United Kingdom, they're pushing toward this Palestinian state as well, following up from France and Canada jumped in there. But again, I'm gonna list all these in the second half of the show. But just in case we don't get there, I do want to remind people that all you've got to do to not have to worry about this and how it's going to impact you is simply to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Just go to the Lord and say, Father, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your Son. I know He died for me, and I know He's coming back, and I promise to give you all the attention that I can with my life for the rest of my life. We'll be back right after a very short break.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run With Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow Him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run With Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run With Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
Break free from fear, pain, and spiritual confusion. Step into total freedom with Rena Lynn, author, speaker, and host of the bold new radio show airing Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net. Rena Lynn brings you real talk on real issues, narcissistic abuse, spiritual warfare, and the emotional battles we all face. With biblical insight and raw honesty, she helps you confront darkness and step into healing. Explore her gripping preparation for the End book series, including the latest release, Intriguing Truth, a powerful journey of faith, trauma, and redemption. Dive into her books, sign up for the newsletter, and discover upcoming challenges designed to help you walk the walk, take spiritual authority, and find your ministry. Join the movement. Find your voice. Experience total freedom with Rena Lynn, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Central on RevelationRadio.net.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to support Christian values in a world that's turning further from truth? The Last Christian Radio Show is 100% listener supported. Every broadcast, every platform, every message, we rely on you to keep the mission going. You can donate directly at lastchristian.net. Every gift matters, no matter the size. Or, here's the best part. You can help just by purchasing the everyday products you already use from our trusted partners. The Conservative Store, Everyday Dose Coffee, Prima Ancestral Protein Bars, and Christian Book. Each offering quality products you'll love. And every purchase through our links helps fuel this ministry. Visit lastchristian.net today to stand with us, pray with us, and support the mission.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, in the United States of America. And over there in the United Kingdom, somewhere hidden out in a undisclosed location, is my dear friend and my brother in Christ, Mr. Mark Sutherland. Mark, we've got, I want to get back into the nations that are, recognizing a place that doesn't exist. There's only way to say it. As of mid-2025, approximately three-quarters of the world's countries, over 145 nations, formally recognize the state of Palestine. This includes the majority of countries in Africa, Asia, the Middle East, and Latin America. These recognitions are largely symbolic, but they are being used to increase global pressure on Israel to give up territory that, according to the Bible, was given by God and is not man's to divide. Now, we got key recognizing regions here. Middle East is most of the Arab nations and Islamic countries. In Africa, nearly all African Union members. In Asia, you have China, India, Indonesia, and other regional powers. And in Latin America, you've got Brazil, Argentina, Mexico, and others. Moving right along here, we've got a growing number of European Union nations have either recognized Palestine recently or are moving toward recognition in defiance of Israel's sovereignty and biblical mandates. Countries that have already recognized as of 2024 and 2025 are Norway, Spain, Ireland, Slovenia, Malta, and Belgium. And then countries preparing to recognize in 2025, you got France. They're the first major G7 country preparing to recognize Palestine at the UN General Assembly. The United Kingdom, moving toward recognition with conditions, and we'll go over that with Mark here in a minute, with conditions tied to ceasefire and exclusion of terrorist organizations. Canada intends to recognize Palestine by September 2025, again under certain political and security blackmail conditions. Portugal, Luxembourg, and New Zealand are also expected to follow. Australia and Andorra have issued support and are considering formal recognition soon. So you've got many of these recognitions ignore the biblical covenant God made with Abraham, which grants the land of Israel forever to the Jewish people. These moves by Western powers reflect growing rebellion against God's word, disguised as peace efforts. Such actions may fulfill prophecy concerning the world's efforts to divide Jerusalem and pressure Israel into surrendering what does not belong to them to give. According to Scripture, those who divide God's land will face judgment, and the global movement toward recognizing a Palestinian state may bring about consequences these nations are not prepared to face. So you've got the final warning here that recognition of a Palestinian state on land God has declared as his inheritance for Israel is not a political step. It is a spiritual provocation, and that is not just anti-Israel, that's anti-God. So I'm going to let you comment on that, all that, Mark, and there's a lot there, but also want to get specifically into the fact that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe that the United Kingdom and France and Canada and several of these other countries are blackmailing Israel. You either do exactly what we tell you that you're going to do, or we're going to force you to accept Palestine as a state, and then what do they do next? Are they going to designate land? Are they going to divide the land? What's going on? You tell me.
Well, you've seen the fact that we've had many, many marches on the streets of London. We've mm-hmm. seen them in Ottawa and elsewhere. But if you take London and the UK, we've seen people marching with pro-Palestinian or with Palestinian flags, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
We've then seen the march with ISIS flags
yes.
as well, and other jihadist flags. That is what we have seen. And the decision, as far as I'm concerned, and the fact that we are constantly having these small boats coming over the channel, and people might think, well, what relevance is that? Well, we then have an ideology of a people group that do not want to integrate, and that fundamentally, if they then follow a mindset of jihadist ideology, mm-hmm. then they would then want to take those particular countries over. So what you have then is an appeasement situation, because you are then worried about losing votes in the G9 election, because you have relied on block vote of people that would call themselves as a Muslim block vote. That block vote in regard to the UK has got members of parliament in Westminster that are in there because they have been voted over the whole issue of Gaza. We are dealing with people and an ideology that is a rollerball and that will not stop, because they want to then say, no, we want a separate state. As I said before, they've been offered it four times, but actually right. they do not want Israel to exist. You raise the most important issue. The most important issue is this, in my mind, is Genesis 12. When Tucker Carlson spoke to Ted Cruz and said, this is a got you moment. Genesis 12 said, if you bless my people, I will bless you. If you curse my people, I will curse you.
Right.
Now, at the end of the day, every single person on this planet needs to recognize Jesus as their Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And Jesus is returning. He returns to the Mount of Olives, as the Bible makes very clear, and he will then walk through the Eastern Gate as a warrior. Every single person, including Jewish people, need to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And there is no doubt about it, within some sections of the Jewish community, they understand there is something going on mm-hmm. when they feel that their Messiah is returning very, very, very soon. There is a discussion about that. Mm-hmm. You and I also know that that things are getting close to the fact that we may then see the temple rebuilt mm-hmm. and all the consequences of that. Right. We are not date setting. We are not date setting at all. We are just trying to sit here, understand what's going on, and see how geopolitical events that are unfolding are. There's biblical events that are unfolding. This is going hand in hand. And as the scripture talks about, the nations turning against the land. That is God's land. He made a covenant, even if people spout replacement theology
yeah.
until the cows come. And I turn around and say, read the Bible.
Yeah, Mark, I'm going to jump in here because you mentioned this, okay? And this is the curse of division, the historical yeah. judgments here. The Word of God doesn't just make promises. It warns of consequences. When nations act against Israel or seek to divide her land, history shows that God's judgment follows swiftly. Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse him who curse you. This applies to nations and individuals alike. Consider the recent history here. In 2005, Israel, under pressure, even from the United States, forcibly removed Jewish residents from Gaza. Almost immediately after, Gaza was overrun with terrorists, and the U.S. was struck by Hurricane Katrina, one of the costliest disasters in American history. Each time, the U.S. hosted peace summits, pushing land division from Madrid to Camp David to Annapolis, natural disasters, economic turmoil, or political shakeups followed that. Leaders who have embraced the division of Israel, whether in words or actions, very often see their political careers falter or their nations fall into decline. These are not coincidence. They follow a biblical pattern. Nations that pressure Israel often do so while ignoring or tolerating terrorism, promoting abortion, and turning from biblical truth. It's not just political blindness, it's spiritual rebellion. The spiritual law is clear. Bless Israel, be blessed. Curse Israel, be cursed. And it's not just judgment on nations either. It's judgment on churches and pastors who support peace plans that divide Jerusalem or hand over Judea and Samaria. When leaders or citizens call for a Palestinian state, they are inviting the wrath of God on their nation. The land belongs to him, and he does not and will not remain silent forever. I wanted to get that in there, Mark, because you pointed out the fact that, you know, there is this, you get blessed or you be cursed. And it's very clear in the Bible. Go ahead, sir.
It is very clear. And Bill, the author, wrote a book. I'm not sure whether it was called Eye to Eye, but he talked about what you referred to in regard to, or you're about to, Hurricane Katrina, mm-hmm. and the fact that how then the American government and others forced the Israeli citizens out of then Gaza, mm-hmm. on the coast there. It was beautiful. It was on its, it had businesses there. It was exporting many, many flowers, etc., around the world. And just for thank you. Just for a sort of comment on that, that's really important. They actually left all that infrastructure so that the people of Gaza then had businesses that they could then run and begin to build on all the exports. They didn't do that. They tore everything down. They tore the synagogues down. They tore everything down. Mm-hmm. And they tore up all those pipes. Probably began to use them as rocket launchers. Yeah. So this is the whole issue. This is what people want to forget. Now, Arab states are putting pressure on Hamas to step down. Mm-hmm. The Fatah PLO are saying, I heard it from the lips of a Fatah and a PLO representative speaker on a program that I was on a couple of days ago. But the key is this. They're asking Hamas to step down because they're saying they don't have the political experience in which to negotiate on the international stage, blah, mm-hmm. blah. Now, there is all this playing out. And let's just remind ourselves as well, at the not soon after the 7th of October and then the 3-4 months that then unfolded from that, and then it was revealed how wealthy these Hamas leaders were, that they were living in Qatar, a very, very nice, lavish lifestyle, and they are billionaires. Let's just remind ourselves that 24 million, anywhere between $24 billion plus up to $55 billion plus has gone into the West Bank territories, let alone all the money that has gone into Hamas, who then built a tunnel system that's bigger or as big as the London Underground. The reason why I keep reiterating these facts is that these facts are getting lost in the melee of this sound. Yeah. And Egypt, along that border, there's about four layers of fences that they then have. With then the Israeli Defense Force on the Philadelphia corridor then discovered a big tunnel where there was two lanes and you could get a massive truck through there. I am saying all this to remind all our listeners, viewers who very kindly give us their time, that these are facts. Mm-hmm. That the IDF, that people around the world the IDF have then uncovered. And this is then the issue that they are then dealing with. And then suddenly all these countries are turning around and going, oh, we're going to recognize this terrorist action. That's mm-hmm. what they're doing. Hamas have now said, we're not going to surrender any weapon. We're not going to surrender our last bullet. Yeah. They have actually publicly thanked, you know, Macron, Keir Starmer for their actions. I mean, really, is that the kind of sort of tribute that you would want as the leader, inverted commas, of a Western country still at the moment? I mean, I think that's an outrage. They are the last people I would want to, I would wish to please. But I sometimes think that I'm back in Neville, I must be back in Neville Chamberlain sort of lifetime, right? Yeah. where it's about appeasement. And I'm mm-hmm. going to say this, every single person that would call themselves, that would be designated as a Muslim because they have been born in certain areas of this world, mm-hmm. all of those people, they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior just as much as anyone else, including Amen. Everyone else around the world. That is it. We are mm-hmm. also seeing, as I say, the countries building up to go against Israel. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with Iran. It's not over yet, but there are plenty of things to pray about. And also, right. I mean, I think also God is speaking through the weather that we're having, through the earthquakes that we're having, Amen. Through all of these changings. And that is also going on in the Middle East area as well.
Right.
The Bible talks about this when mountains are cut in half, when mm-hmm. things are divided. So we've got to keep an eye out for that and be praying. And JD, on this sort of comment, people very kindly are listening to us, they're watching us, mm-hmm. but this isn't a game.
No.
This isn't just a video. This isn't a game. We are, I believe passionately, I'm not date setting, but it looks like events are saying that we are really, really leading up to the return of Jesus.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm not date setting, but mm-hmm. if we are reading scripture, we're looking at events, but there are many, many people that call themselves Christians, followers of Christ, who are struggling to come to terms with that. Are we? Are we not?
Well, the Bible is clear that we're supposed to be looking. Mm. You know, we are mm. supposed to be watchmen on the wall. I want to get this in here real quick because it kind of goes along with what you're talking about here. The final confrontation, why all this matters, the world is accelerating toward a prophetic collision. What once seemed mm. distant now feels inevitable. The recognition of a Palestinian state may be the spark that lights the final prophetic fire. Nations across Europe are recognizing Palestinian statehood, and not through negotiation, but by declaration. The push is global, it's relentless, and it's deceptive. The UN is preparing language and resolutions to enforce a two-state solution, even without Israeli consent. Many world leaders, even some Israeli ones, are embracing false peace narratives out of desperation. Daniel 9:27 warns that a coming ruler known to Christians as the Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many, making it entirely possible that the UN two-state solution forced upon Israel may very well be a false peace deal that includes dividing the land. The prophet Zechariah foretold that all nations would come against Jerusalem and that God himself would intervene. That's in Zechariah 14, verses 2 and 3. Today, the spiritual war is intensifying. Satan knows his time is short. The battle for Jerusalem is not about politics. It's about who will reign. The land is God's footstool. Many nations challenge his ownership. They challenge his throne. For believers, this is not the time to be silent. We must speak biblical truth, even when it's unpopular. The church must stand with Israel, and not only politically, but spiritually. We are to intercede. We're to educate and we are to prepare. As these global efforts to divide God's land increase, we see the urgency of the hour. The return of Christ is near. A Palestinian state built on God's land is a line that must not be crossed. The Lord has spoken. The King is coming. Let every heart prepare for his return. And I think that's exactly what you said, but it put in writing there. Hopefully people will read that and will understand. This is not a game. You know, Israel is not just another country. Israel is the apple of God's eye. It's not going anywhere. It's going to win. So, go ahead, Mark. I'll turn it over to you, sir.
No, JD, not at all. I mean, we have to appreciate, and I admit that at times it's very difficult to get our head around it. We are in the biggest spiritual battle of our lifetime.
Amen.
And the Bible, as you kindly reminded us in the first 30 minutes, first half hour, about deception, I will hand you over to a delusion. Mm-hmm. Jesus warns us and said, do not be deceived. Now, I'm sure that you've had people say to you, you're deceived because you believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mm-hmm. believe that Jesus died and rose again, mm-hmm. and defeated death. You've most probably been
I've
told,
been laughed
oh,
at.
I can't.
I've been laughed at. I'm
yeah,
used
you've
to
been
it.
Laughed
I,
at.
Yeah,
and
I don't care.
Yeah, absolutely. And say, this is a fairy story.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the Mount of Olives, I've had the privilege to be there recently. The fact is, the Bible makes it clear, Jesus is returning. And the enemy knows that. The elites know that, who have all these meetings at Davos, or in previous times, you know, as well, they're meeting Bilderberg, trying to make decisions of how to run the world. We go mm-hmm. through the Trilateral Commission. We go through the Council of Foreign Relations. We go mm-hmm. through the Atlantic Council. We go through NATO. I encourage everyone to research and who is ex-prime ministers, prime ministers, like for argument's sake, Rutte of Holland, and then he becomes leader of NATO. Look at how people go through doors to get one job, come out of that back door, and then go into another job.
Right.
These are all connections. And the enemy knows the hour is getting nearer, and he is lashing out and will lash out at the apple of God's eye, that land. And when I find it really, really interesting when people say to me, who are then into replacement theology, who say that the covenant that God has made with the Jewish people, with the land, with the people on that land, then turning around and going, the tribes, they turn around and go, you remind them, and you say, "Well, look at the Bible. Doesn't it seem to mention this land a lot? Doesn't it seem to mention this part of the world a lot?" And they can't get their head around that. And then when you turn around and say, "Jesus is Jewish, the house of Judah," they then turn around and go, "What can I say to that?" But many people don't even want to believe that. And of course, then we've had people turn around and say, "Well, Jesus is a Palestinian." No. So,
well, I mean, Mark, just this last week, I don't remember who posted it, but I saw a thing. Mm-hmm. It was from a Palestinian, Hamas mm-hmm. member or whatever. It held up a thing that said Jewish is Jesus was a Muslim. Well, that's really hard to do when Muslims didn't even exist at his time. But, you know, mm-hmm. that shows you when you have major propaganda media outlets like CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, that kind of thing, that are showing nothing but anti-Israel stuff. They won't comment about anything that Israel actually does. Well, it's easier for me to wrap my head around why all these people are protesting everywhere. When they hear it in the propaganda media, that Israel is bad, and they hear nothing about the Palestinians be bad. The Jews stole this land. No, they didn't. But that's exactly what these propaganda places are putting out, and that's the reason that you see the demonstrations, because people are getting the news from the wrong places, and they're believing the crap that they're fed. It's really that simple.
Absolutely. But also, as he said, people are being handed over to their own delusion. Mm-hmm. So the Bible is becoming real in front of us because people are not reading scripture. They are interpreting that.
Amen.
You make a very, very good point there, where Islam as a religion then comes about in the 7th century, I think, from Muhammad, I think from 639. So this is the whole thing of, and then we've got to remind ourselves that within the Middle East, how, like, you know, there's only 10%, if less than that, of Coptic Christians mm-hmm. left in Egypt. Well, before that, the far, far bigger percent. And also just to remind us as well, is that under, you know, the Arabs, the Palestinian group, keep going on about the Nakba when they felt that they were expelled from Israel. Israel at that time, Ben-Gurion's government turning around and saying, look, we want you to stay. Only 150,000 Arabs stayed. The rest fled because the countries around then attacked Israel and said, if you leave, we will go and deal with these pesky Jews, mm-hmm. and then you can come back to the houses. Well, yeah. The rest is history. But the key I'd like to make is that they've expelled the Jewish people all the way round with those countries all the way round Israel. As a contact of mine, relatives in 1917 left Afghanistan and then came to Israel. They were Jews. Mm-hmm. There were many Jews in this country. They then got expelled and they left. And just to encourage people to say, you need to look at this history. You need to look at the people movement and what was happening. And Israel was created. It was people returning to the land, but there were always Jews within that land for thousands and thousands of years. It's their historic homeland. And after the Second World War, after the Holocaust, after the Shoah, where 6 million Jews were murdered in camps across Germany and were pulled out of all the European countries, they then needed a safe haven. And the best safe haven is their homeland. Mm-hmm. And just to remind people, within Israel as a country, there are 2 million Arab Israelis
right.
that live mm-hmm. full citizen rights, that mm-hmm. live in Israel, and they also fight in the IDF, mm-hmm. and they also are in the Knesset. They also have
right.
political power as well. So let's just remind ourselves of that. And within the Middle East, as much as this is uncomfortable for us in the West, they respect the strong man. They respect people who are strong. You go through the history of Israel and the establishment from 1948, you can see God's hand. You can also understand how many wars they have had to fight and what they've had to put up with. Is absolutely it's miraculous and incredible.
It is miraculous. But, and Mark, I hate to cut you off, but we're getting down here to the very last few seconds of the show. And I didn't want to end the show without again thanking you for your time and contributions to the show. It is greatly appreciated. Mark's on a lot of podcasts, guys. You might want to catch him on the Sutherland Report. And by the way, you can find that on Revelation Radio as well. Until next time, everybody, good night and God bless.
You've been listening to The Last Christian Radio Show, where biblical truth meets headline reality. And prophecy is never fiction. We're on the air every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday night at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central, boldly proclaiming the gospel and warning a world on the brink. But we can't do it alone. Your support makes the mission possible to speak the truth, reach the lost, and prepare the world for the return of Jesus Christ. Visit lastchristian.net and help us continue broadcasting the unfiltered, uncensored truth to the nations. Whether it's a one-time gift or by shopping through our trusted partners, every action you take fuels the message. So stay informed, stay bold, and above all, stay ready, because the trumpet could sound at any moment. Until next time, good night and God bless.